Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
Art of Construction Tribe, Devin Tilley here. Oh my goodness, I am so pumped. All the blood, sweat, and tears putting together for going and finding the best place to go talk about the AEC industry. And I have found it. It's Digital Built Week, North America 2019. Art of Construction is going to be the official podcast. And give credit where credit's due. I am sitting here looking at Mac Little, who we're going to be talking with today. And Mac, I met through the Built Conference, where there's all these cool things. And at that conference, he's going to be speaking and talking the title, The Living Machine. So we're going to go and have a fireside chat with Mac and talk through, get to know him, learn about the company that he works for, Via Technic, and have a bunch of fun and dive in and learn all about that together. And then you can go meet up with us at the Built Conference. So let's dive in and get to know a little bit more about Mac and have some fun. What's your favorite beverage?
Bullet Rye on the Rocks.
Oh man, another rye guy. I love it. It's funny how many people, how things connect, and it's like it's been bourbon or water if you go back and listen to a lot of the shows, and I just like to put them both together. What is the favorite place you've traveled?
Split. I have to go Split for two different reasons. One of my favorite places ever to travel and work was Krakow, Poland. Mm. But then that shifted when I went to Lagos, Portugal. So it was a hard split in the middle for two different reasons.
What's the reason?
One is just a crazy fun city where people are doing really interesting work and development, and also this old European town that most people don't end up going to because people don't know about it. And it blew my mind going there and working. Then I ended up at Lagos, which I had no idea where that was when I flew out there and drove down to the coast. And kind of the whole environment and atmosphere there blew me away.
Give us one story from your two split trips. The split decision, man.
Yeah. All right, number one, Krakow, Poland. You can be the worst karaoke singer there, but also the best just because of having a better grasp of the English language and these songs you grew up listening to. They think you're amazing. I'm like, I am the worst.
You have to fly across the pond to be something different, right? Same when they come over here. Right. Yeah, for sure.
Lagos was just the environment. It was a small beach town on the coast where you're drinking $2 bottles of wine all day. And everyone was friendly, nice, wanted to help you. And then kind of just wandered around and did whatever you felt like in the moment there that was just a blast.
Awesome. Well, we're going to have some fun today because they brought in our local Fat Tire here, one of my favorites. So we're going to have some fun and crack a beer, and thanks for telling us the story. And so what's your favorite hobby or interest outside of the construction arena we passionately call the art of construction?
It's got to be snowboarding.
All right.
Getting up to the mountains, again, having a Fat Tire, doing a couple laps, hanging out with friends, listening to music, going to the lodge, just kind of putting on the headphones and cruising around.
What's your favorite run and favorite mountain?
It's got to be a basin.
All right.
Top to bottom.
Yeah. That new terrain this year, I loved it. I did some good runs.
The Beavers was great. And as much snow as we got this year.
It's crazy. Well, we got to know a little bit about Mac. Tell us about your company, Via Technic, and what that's all about.
Well, so Via Technic, we are a global leader in the virtual design and construction industry. We focus pretty heavily on deploying new technologies, new ideas, and kind of pushing them forward and bringing things into fruition. We've got 160 plus people. We're 7 offices globally. And the whole idea here is bringing more of this digital platform, kind of exciting energy, and embedding that in with the actual built world.
Awesome. Well, you and I are both going to get to meet up in person at the Built Conference that you and I got to meet through this, where they selected six of the awesome presenters to come and do podcasts where we get to tell the story and connect the dots. And that's what the Art of Construction is all about, is to connect all these dots, because there's so many tools out there, right? So you're going to do a presentation about machine learning at the Built Conference, correct?
That's correct.
So the first question, when I was researching about the presentation you're going to do, give us your story and your journey about what is artificial intelligence and machine learning. How does that affect the AEC industry? And you guys, as I'm the putting this to a third grade level of trying to understand the amount of abbreviations and nomenclatures, it's like a whole nother language that I had to ask you. VDC is your title, and that is virtual design construction, right?
Correct.
So as a virtual design construction expert, tell us about AI and machine learning and how it affects the AEC industry.
Well, where do we start from? It is going to drastically affect the whole industry. There is going to be early adopters, people that are investing now and building this out as a process, which is going to project them into the next kind of fourth industrial revolution, or whatever anyone wants to call it. And it's also going to differentiate those who get left behind versus those who continue to grow and change. So I think the analogy that I like to have used right now is other industries that are using this, that have adopted this, and then how that starts to, those processes get to adopted into the construction industry. So the best one right now is Tinder. They are now analyzing, developing, using machine learning to figure out which photos you have that get swiped on the most, and then start to recirculate those to the top, because that builds a better algorithm to start understanding what is the most applicable idea for everyone else. So it's saying, you have a picture of you with a dog. 70 people have on their profiles they like dogs. That's going to circulate that dog picture up to the front of those people to immediately give you an advantage over everything else. No different than us understanding how things are starting to get built. We know that in this region, this type of construction for the last 15 years has been the most efficient. So instead of going and having to track that information down, you're talking about, I have this building that I need to build here, and that information is now already being funneled there. You have a building type, a construction material type. You have manufacturers linked in already, because that, for what you're doing, the type of building, the location, the idea, is already been vetted so much through this collection of data and analysis that you're already past the schematic design point. You are now understanding completely what's going to happen, and your budget, schedule, every piece of information you need to get, you know, what's my local window manufacturer? Who has done these projects before and efficiently and on schedule? Okay, I don't have to go bid that out now, because that bid has already been vetted into me.
So it's smarter than us at certain things, right?
The idea is it's supposed to be.
Yeah, but there's a lot to go into that, right? So
yes.
Give us your background of how I can definitely feel the passion here as we're talking through going into this, you know, virtual design construction and computational design, all these new buzzwords that I'm hearing when I go to these great conferences. How did you get here? What's your background?
The background is like anyone's. Dabbling in everything until you got to the right place. So I grew up, both my parents are architects. I lived either on a job site or in an office, seeing things done. And, you know, 80s, 90s, man, some of those things in those design offices were monotonous, you know, drawing by hand, erasing, figuring things out. I mean, kudos to them, because we wouldn't be here today without all of that hard work. But then growing up also on a construction site, seeing things, how we're getting constructed, what was happening there, kind of where problems were always being developed. So I went to school actually for economics first, because my parents refused to let me go into architecture school. So 1 year I just decided to transfer and not tell them until after the first year. But once I got into that world, I started to say, wow, there is an immediate adoption and need for technology. So the whole time during there, I'm also learning all of the external applications and technology that went into it. So coming out of that, going and working, learning the day-to-day aspects of it, and you know, the after late hours, like anyone at that time, was teaching myself new technologies, coding, developing, and then starting to say, how do I apply these to this industry? So I was lucky enough to come up with some interesting ideas that I got to pitch inside of a firm that then said, we will give you an R&D budget to look at rapid prototyping of buildings. Start to figure out what that looks like. So by doing that, I started to build out a process that then said, wait a minute, how does this now grow to the next level? It was great as an upfront tool, but then does this have any life after this? Or how do I apply this to actually building something? And that's when this kind of aha moment of, oh, all of this development machine learning upfront design is best suited for industrialized construction. We now have the ability to get all that information, lay out buildings, but then also start to drive robots and machines to build these at the same time and start to, instead of getting away from this construction mentality, we're getting into an installation mentality and operating at a more efficient level.
So getting people to do what they're best at installing, best at designing, and let the machine learning. So where is the most potential for AI and machine learning at?
To be honest, I believe it is a few different places. I think it's going to be great at initial upfront analysis and vetting, but then you're always going to have a design aspect of it. You're going to figure out some things, you're going to do that, but you're going to automate elements of that. But then where I think it really comes into play is procurement, manufacturing, and installation. You know, it's automating and figuring out what is the most efficient module to first off fabricate. Second off, we already know what the most efficient is because we've already shipped the wrong ones 20 times and we know that we can fit 6 more now onto a flatbed if we do something a little bit different. So you have this now, instead of this linear cycle going, you have data coming out of each element, kind of influencing back to the each other aspect of what this kind of digital thread idea is. So it's, again, you're not going design, engineering, construction, punch out. It's more now going, we are going to take all of this information we've done from every project, create a data lake, and now start to have that influence each level of this as you add in manufacturing, logistics, installation, punch out. So you're saying, we have learned now from 6 buildings the most efficient way to do something, these other elements. So now your design changes up front, because that actually is going to influence your shipping installation later on down the road, or how somebody can actually build something on site, because you've learned 20 times that nobody actually can put this together. So how do you then start to make that a more efficient process?
Awesome. So taking that Gantt chart or the project management stuff that's been done for many, many years, but it's like reinventing the wheel. Once you're done, you start over and do that on every project. It's starting to take and put that stuff, that data together that is moving in different ways.
Exactly. You start to use what every place has that's just sitting somewhere, whether it's, you know, an Excel spreadsheet where they have 50 of them, or, you know, some of these companies that have, you know, a couple thousand program charts and developments, or again, just back to scheduling. Somehow we always redo a schedule, and sometimes it's for the exact same building over and over again. And I'm like, actually, we should be taking each incremental aspect of that and figuring out how to constantly develop and make this more efficient.
Right.
I mean, as we all know, there is a huge productivity issue with construction. And we're trying now, and the idea is how do you start to catch that up to the manufacturing curve? And I think this idea of where, first off, we'll try to get away from all of the buzzwords right now. Kind of what I like to call it is data-driven design and construction. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, that kind of encompasses AI, machine learning, generative design, any of those kind of hot words, and saying this is actually, those are probably all the same thing, which is what we're really talking about, is utilizing all of this information we have and then finally putting it into action.
Yeah, and getting garbage in, garbage out, and really putting that together in this, in the simplistic terms. So Via Technique, what are some tools that you guys, what are the tools you use to do this?
So we use a lot of off-the-shelf tools because that's what people are working in. You know, we have the Autodesk products, Rhino, Grasshopper, Dassault systems. But what we're doing now is either A, taking outside things and augmenting it, or where we're seeing more and more of the need is building our own tools. And we're doing this either A, on top of it, or kind of out there in another space that makes more sense for some of these processes to occur. So that's kind of what we always talk about, is we do all of that day-to-day items and use those current software packages because that's the easiest to hand off to people. But we're also now figuring out those limitations and saying, well, either A, we're going to augment these with our own plugins, or B, we're going to build our own tool because that's what needs to happen.
Got it. So it's all about data management and extraction of all that stuff.
That's the big thing right now, is data collection. How do you get it?
Yeah. So what's the, in your mind, what's the best tool to capture that data right now?
So I will say there's two tools. For the built world and what a lot of people have, it's been these Revit models. So one thing we've done is build an application that we can easily go in and extract every piece of data point from a model and then start to store those, because that way we get to store every single piece. I mean, that's what you really need, is this massive amounts of data before you can even get to this machine learning AI process, because you have to have something to learn from. The next tool is something we're building that I really enjoy, is how do you start to vet that data and start to clean it up and then start to use it to drive the next process? So you have to have the Autodesk BIM models of sorts to tap into. And then now we sit to say, is okay, cool, we have that. Now how do we start to use this? Because everyone's had this information for years, but nobody's either A, decided to go in and grab it all, and then B, figure out how to utilize this moving forward.
And when I listen to experts like you talk about this, it's almost like there's kind of the tail wagging the dog sometimes, because you talk about how they're building the same model, but yet they're doing it over and over again. Well, maybe it's a different architect firm or different tools, and that's changing. It's like, who's leading who? And it's kind of like, is it the architect leading the contractor, the contractor leading the architect? I think there's this big paradigm shift happening, is that the AEC is this flipping the funnel, is that the people out in the field are doing the work, but they don't understand these tools. And it's mixing those two up and down together. Is when I listen to this, because when I day-to-day in Colorado where I own my window and door company, it's like, just give me the bid, and then it's value engineer it, and then it's this back and forth shift of, you just said it, if you're keeping track of it, you don't need a window, 10 window bids, because this is the right one for the project.
Exactly. And then also projecting out how many projects you're going to do, because I would rather, as a GC, and which you would probably do too, I have 10 projects in the pipeline here today in Denver. Why wouldn't I just project that to you and have you take on the next 10, because we're both going to get a better deal here, all in all? And the only way we actually understand that is by this kind of historical use aspect of it, right? Or also this data projection point of these projects. We might not have the project right now today, but we probably can go back and understand that we're close to signing another one and another one and another one at some sort of timeline interval. So it makes sense for both of us to link up in that aspect and become this actually more efficient kind of powerhouse group.
Totally. Yeah, efficient partnerships, that you're both taking care of everybody and the data speaking, you know, truly the numbers don't lie, and it's true data if you can put that together and you can work together to do it that way.
Exactly. It means, you know, and for kind of the BIM geeks out there, I'm not tracking down window libraries anymore. I'm starting a new project that is project A, B, C. Same whole groups are coming in. So you're automatically loading those in. Those are pre-populating immediately, and they'll do some fine tuning, but we're now limiting this kind of searching process and redo processes because we already know what's happening. And then inevitably we're not getting into a VE process.
Totally. So tell me about Digital Build Week. You and I are both going for the first time. And so is this kind of the vein that you're going to be talking about and hoping to learn? And what's your take on that?
Super excited to go. I was kind of blown away that, you know, I got the invite, and then even more blown away that they set us up to talk today. And then also that we're down the street from each other.
Right, right. Totally.
I'm really excited to go there and first off learn a lot of what everyone else is doing. And then, yeah, I'm going to be talking very in depth about kind of where we're at now, how these processes are starting to work, but then also what this future looks like. Where are we going to go? We're not going to be in the Matrix. Robots aren't going to take over and destroy everything, and they're going to just take over and build. We're actually, I think, going to become incredibly efficient at what we're doing. And people are going to really fine tune their roles in the construction and this process right now. I'm kind of excited because I really think we're going to get back to this true design build platform where everyone is involved up front all the way through. It's, as you know, how many times are you getting pulled in after everything's figured out only to realize that it's not figured out? And you're like, why wasn't I here from day one? Like, I'll get on a call, you know, step one and say, yeah, this is what we have. This is what's going to work the best. And then there's no issue, you know, 6 months down the road.
Totally. Yeah. Well, we make these global and timeless, so hopefully it's a great platform for AI and machine learning. But also, I challenge you to go check out the Digital Build Week, where there's going to be 70-some amazing presenters like Mac and a bunch of great people there. So one of the things we've really been asking is we're really trying to understand that crystal ball out there to where this paradigm shift is happening faster and faster. Is it 2 months or 20 years, probably somewhere in between? But what is your crystal ball for the future with technology and construction?
I think we are right now at the pinnacle. It is happening. I believe that I'll put a timeline on it. I think 3 years. 3 years, you're going to see something that has not really ever kind of been used as a process yet. And I think you are going to get pretty close to a fully automatedly designed and constructed building.
So if you're listening to that Art of Construction Tribe, and he put it out there, I would agree. 3 years is somewhere in that paradigm shift. Like, 3 years goes really fast. As I, you know, one of my keynotes, and then go back to past episodes and listen to what I call the full life perspective and my tool of the time relationship chart of how much time you have to do stuff and how little time you have to do stuff is, you know, is when you're going in the short term, you're like, well, this is 20 years. I'm not going to worry about it. Well, if you're not paying attention to this stuff right now, then you may as well just say in 3 years, I'm going to be out of the industry, because that's where this is going. So you better start paying attention to it, is why I'm so passionate about it, because I want you, Art of Construction Tribe, to be the leaders, because the people blazing trails now are the ones that are going to be on the forefront. So what's your take in closing as you grew up in the industry of architecture, of that one thing that we really want to leave contractors and affiliates? This is specifically designed for them to grow their business. What's that one thing you want them to really think about to help them shift the needle and move their business forward?
Think about talent outside of the AEC industry. There is a whole group of people that are involved in technology and development that can be immediately thrown in and figure out solutions to day-to-day issues and build out kind of these tools and applications that have the potential to save millions and millions of dollars and speed up timelines. It's just, there's never been this cross-pollination until now. And the idea now is saying, let's all kind of take these things and kind of evolve together and grow in this kind of new projection that we're facing and going towards.
Love it. Such great advice. Is either you're growing or dying. If you're just doing it the same way, it's not going to work. So I love the right now, if you go back and listen to the episode with Todd DeWalt, he talks about the workforce delusion. Of right now, there's a lot of people burying their heads in the sand. So there's not enough people to do the work. I just think they're not looking themselves in the mirror the right way. And they're not understanding to say, you got to work smarter, not harder. You can't just throw more people to the problem. You have to have the right solutions to the problem. And us people make the solutions, but you have to write those tools. And that's why we're going to be going on this big journey with awesome people like Mac that we're going to be learning together and really putting before and after the Built conference to all connect the dots. Because that's the part that the past few years I've been going to these conferences, and it's a little bit overwhelming, right? When you step into an environment that you don't quite know. And I don't think anybody quite knows it, but there's a lot of people that put in a lot of hours like you that stepped up, and I commend you for stepping up and getting an architect firm to say, give me a budget. I'm going to make this be something special for all of us. So how do people get a hold of you? What's the best way to, if they're interested in AI and machine learning and talking to you?
Call me direct, send me an email, find me on the street, talk to me at anywhere.
Yeah, and on LinkedIn, I was going to say, when it was Mac Little, it's a different name. So if you're going to search Mac, it's Joseph Mac Little, right?
Correct.
So Joseph Mac Little on LinkedIn, which is, we're big fans of LinkedIn here. Go get in touch with him. And if you're interested in checking out Built, he'll be there. Thanks for coming in and tell us your story and being part of the Art of Construction tribe, my man.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Awesome. Good stuff.